for almost any video project of any type, you have to realize that people's attention spans are short, and the only way to get them to take action is to get them to care. And so in order for those things to happen, you have to keep your message simple, and you have to keep it focused on what your product, your content, your information does for them, and how it changes their day-to-day or their lives for the better in some way. I think that's true of pretty much any kind of video out there. That's all that really matters in the end. Is that's the only way is to make it personal for them, is to show them what, you know, what can be better in their lives because of what you're giving them, what you're showing them, what you're doing for them.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are and wherever you're watching from. My name is Matt Pierce, host of The Visual Lounge, and today we're going to be doing something we've never done before. We're going to be talking to two awesome creators who run a studio. They make videos for other people. They make videos for creators, for people who are looking to educate their clients and their staff. And I think there's so much wisdom that can be found in talking to people who are doing this at a professional level that we'll benefit from. So really excited for today's show. So let's go ahead and jump in. Carl Letcher is co-founder and producer at Millbrook Studios, a video production company in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's produced, edited, acted, you name it, on hundreds of web videos, TV commercials, and feature films. His best asset is his ability to get along with anyone and make sure that they have a productive, fun work experience. He loves cooking, music, movies, and video games. Trev Green began working in the film industry as an actor with roles on shows like One Tree Hill, Dawson's Creek, and HBO's John Adams miniseries. After graduating from UNCW with a degree in film studies, Tripp transitioned to a career behind the camera working as a freelance cinematographer and director for industrial, commercial, and narrative projects. In 2017, Tripp joined forces with Carl to found Millbrook Studio, a commercial and corporate production studio in Raleigh, North Carolina. He currently serves as Millbrook's creative director, collaborating with clients, crew, and talent to creatively communicate stories and engaging audiences. With that said, please help me welcome Carl and Tripp to the Visual Lounge. Hey, guys.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, great, great. Thank you guys so much for being here. We always like to dive in with the first thing is just a tip from you guys on what could, you know, thinking about my audience, there's often people who are making learning development content. Maybe they're creators trying to get started with YouTube channels or using video for business purposes. One thing that they could do to, you know, maybe use or make better videos. And one of you want to start here, maybe Carl, can we put you on the spot to start and then Tripp, we'll hear from you?
Sure. One tip for video creators, I would say make it short. A lot of people, because of YouTube algorithms and other purposes, they feel like they have a lot to say. I would say keep it short and sweet. Attention spans are really dwindling, especially in 2024. So I would say keep it short. Keep whatever you're doing short. That's like a quick tip.
Yeah, we get a lot of clients who will say to us like, and we have to define what short is here, because we get a lot of clients who will kind of say, we wanted this really short video. It's only going to be 15 minutes. And 15 minutes is, in video world, an eternity. Mm-hmm. And so for certain kinds of content anyways. And so like, yeah, it depends on your use case. If you're trying to monetize on YouTube, by all means, stuff it with as much filler as you can. Do that 2-hour video on how to ride a bicycle, whatever it is. But in general, like if you really want to get your information into the audience and have them actually have some sort of takeaway and lift some information and keep their attention actually focused, short we do.
Yeah. I love that as a tip because I do think there's a tendency to try to fit everything into a singular video. Like you need to know everything. And that doesn't seem to be the case. They don't need to know everything usually.
Yeah. And it goes for not just educational video, but for like advertising and stuff. We run into this as well, where a company will want to list out and hit on every feature and benefit that they have come up with in their marketing meetings. And it's a list that's a mile long. And it's like they want to make a 30-second ad and include like 100 features and benefits. And we're like, simple is better. You know, it always is in pretty much everything to get people to actually retain the information and actually have an impact is you want to also just make your product or whatever it is, your process, seem as simple as it can be. And the more you cram in there, the more difficult, the more complex it's perceived to be. And so for us, you know, it's always important to humanize things, tell, you know, why the thing is made and how it helps you, not just what it does, but doing that in a very short way and hitting on the biggest points first. And you can divide it up and do multiple videos to handle those other things, mm-hmm. but trying to cram it all in one, it just, it, to us, it doesn't work well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I love that. So today, for the bulk of our conversation, I want to talk about kind of the unique position you guys are in. You're making videos professionally for others, and you both have a great list of credits that people can go look you up and see those things. But I'm curious where I want to start, kind of high level, right? Like, so as particularly, I think people are coming to you and saying, hey, we want to make a video. Obviously, you guys have a lot of experience, but what's one thing to start that you'd want them to know? Like, if I'm going to come to you and say, hey, I'd like to work with Millbrook Studios to talk about, you know, I want a video made. What would you want me to know about video creation that maybe would help me approach you better with a better plan or better idea or to be better, you know, able to work with you?
I think the first thing that I would say, especially if you're not used to working in video, is understanding that video budgets and scopes are wildly variable. And so, like, we get people who will come to us and want to quote a project or come up with a sort of like a scope, and they'll have like no even ballpark for what a budget is. They have like no idea. And we're like, well, the thing about video is you can make a video for the same use case for $1,000, $5,000, $50,000, $500,000. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on like, what's the size of your company? Where is it being placed? How many people are going to see it? And whether you can justify that ROI and what your competitors are doing. So all of these things come into it. But to just come in and say, we want a video, it's like, we can recommend a scope or whatever, but you have to understand that like everything is super variable. So defining a scope of work is really important and difficult, but that's the first thing that comes to mind for me.
Yeah. That and just, you know, what's the goal of the video? Just like, what is the end result you need from this video? You know, high level, just getting straight to the point of like, why are we doing this? Why do you need a video? And then that helps us kind of better hone in the scope. Like Trip was saying, like, you know, you might not need a $25,000 video. You might be able to do this with a $12,000 video. So yeah, that's probably the first thing we talk about with clients coming to us.
Yeah. Well, I love that because it gives context, right? Like, understand what you need, what you want, because why you're making a video if you don't have that sense. So what I'm hoping to understand from you guys is, so a lot of people who are probably listening to this will be people who maybe they work with studios or other creators, but oftentimes they're in a position where they're either DIYing it or they're doing it, you know, on their own because they don't have $1,000 even in their budget to go and work with someone like yourselves. So what advice would you give us about thinking about how to even start creating videos that maybe are more effective or more engaging? Because I think that's one thing I've appreciated about working with agencies is oftentimes the creative vision that they bring and the kind of the understanding of how what video can do is very clear for them. Whereas like someone who's making training content, they're thinking about, well, I need them to learn X, Y, and Z, but they're not necessarily sure how the video is going to work. So help me understand, like, what might I be able to do better as a video creator based on things that you would be willing to share with us?
Yeah, I mean, I think that some things are really simple. I mean, having nice, just making things look a little bit nicer. You can make things look a lot nicer with a little bit of effort. Making things look extremely polished and super high end, it takes a huge crew and all this lights and stuff. But the jump in quality between like no lighting, you know, and just like having one little light for your webcam setup is a massive difference in perception. So I would just say, like, looking up YouTube videos or whatever on how to do like a basic interview lighting setup or whatever it is, like where we're at right now, like we have, you know, it's basically one main light right here. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be super expensive either. I mean, you can go on Amazon or wherever and get relatively affordable fixtures if you're trying to DIY your own content. So that's something that immediately comes to mind.
Yeah. Jarrett, literally flip this light off right here. I just want to show up before and after. Like, we just turn this table sideways, put up one light. We could turn the overheads on, but, you know, this is just one light. It makes a massive, massive difference. So, yeah, just putting a little bit of thought into, you know, cinematography goes a long, long way.
Yeah. And as far as, like, you were saying with the agencies, I mean, you know, imitation is a serious form of flattery, right? Like, if you go out and watch some videos and literally, like, clone the format for what they're doing, like, find an educational channel you do. And like jot down by beat, like, okay, so they do an intro that lasts 30 seconds and then they talk for 30 seconds about what we're about to do. And then they do a lesson for this long and like, you know, outline it out a little bit and mimic what you think is effective and channels that you like and the way that they do things and sort of like study those things. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to go and watch a video on how to make a video. Just watch the video and take some notes and try to, you know, recreate elements of it.
So let me get a little bit more, maybe even more specific, because I love that advice, right? And thank you for turning off the lights to show the difference, because lighting is amazing what it does. So let's talk about engagement, because I think there's a lot of sense. You know, you talked a little bit earlier on about attention spans, you know, people's obviously, you got to grab attention. How have you found to be able to make videos that are more engaging, especially, let's say, when the topic isn't maybe the amazing, sexy, cool topic or the fun topic, you know, it's because there's a lot of stuff out there that it's like people need to know it. They need to see it. They need to understand it. But let's be honest. It's not super interesting to most of us. So any advice on how we can get more engaging, which probably isn't about, I mean, obviously quality matters, but maybe it's less about the gear and more about like the story. What would it be?
Some of this for us depends on like the use case for the video, because sometimes we're doing like training stuff, like it's being used in a training. And so you have a captive audience. And so you can make a longer video or whatever. It kind of depends. Like, are you just letting people go and find it on a website and like watch it at their leisure? Because that's a little bit different and has to be, to me, more engaging to keep them there and keep them focused on it. But I mean, I would say like, you know, like, simple is better. Typically, like, distill what you're trying to teach into key points. And, you know, it depends on your brand and whether it's right for you or not. But like, just humor, authenticity is very helpful. You know, if you get like very scripted and you start sounding like ChatGPT, the brain just like turns off on that. And so, you know, having some personality, doing, you know, injecting your own wording and your own way to do things. Also, like, demonstrations are great. Like, you know, if you don't have the budget or the know-how to do graphic effects, if there's any sort of like physical props you can use to illustrate a point, stuff like that is always great. Adds visual interest. I don't know if there's anything else you could add.
Yeah, I mean, pulling up a whiteboard, like any sort of prop that could illustrate what you're trying to say quickly. And just, you know, delivering in a conversational tone. It just, people don't like listening to robots, you know, they want to listen to other humans, and that'll just make you more approachable, make, you know, what you're saying more, you know, digestible.
Yeah. And if you're not good off the cuff, I mean, you know, using bullet points or something, teleprompting bullet points, doesn't have to be like a script. We've done that for content a bunch of times. Also, like, another thing that, you know, we found is when we do educational content, it's like several different formats that we've done. So sometimes it's one person talking direct to a camera. And you can do that with bullet points instead of a scripted thing to help it make it sound conversational. If you're an amazing writer, you may be able to just write something that sounds conversational. That's its own skill. But another thing is, like, you know, we do some where it's more like a podcast setup and there's two people like talking to each other. And that, you know, to do it really well requires more cameras and more stuff. But in the end, like, the content is much easier to cut because it's more off the cuff. Something like what we're doing here, but with, you know, all in one space with multiple angles is a great way to do stuff and get a lot of content done quickly and keep it engaging because it's automatically conversational since it's a conversation. So it kind of depends on like the format of what you're doing and how you want to do it too.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I appreciate the kind of the naturalness of conversation or the good writing, that's key, right? I'm curious as let's kind of, if we can kind of step back for a second and think about this flow of process, because obviously there's a few things we've talked about that need to happen, right? Like, there's this, like, you have to have your idea. You mentioned this idea of personality, and frankly, you have to understand what your personality for your brand or product or whatever is. for when, let's say if I was, if we can role play here for a second, I'm a potential client. I come to you and say, like, I've got this idea for this training and we need some video. What does that process creatively look like for you on your side? Are most people bringing to you like, hey, we've got this idea, here's our script, here's what we want? Or are you more involved in the, like, the generative part of it where you're saying like, hey, this is a great idea. What if we did this or this, or tried this podcast idea? What does that look like as an agency that you're doing this work usually?
Well, typically we come in at all different parts of what you're just describing. Sometimes a client will already have a script completely ready to go and say, like, execute this. And then, you know, we sometimes might say, maybe we should do this different or that. But most of the time, it's, I just have this pretty vague idea of what I need to accomplish. And, you know, here's some key points we want to include in the video or script. And then we kind of take that information, create our own ideas, kind of have a discovery meeting, if you would, with the client. And, you know, create a script or at least vague storyboard to then present to them and kind of get their feedback. And so it's a back and forth at the start.
Yeah, I would say as far as like the content is concerned too, it a little bit goes back to that length thing and the format thing, because, you know, if sort of thumbs down thing. So if it's a shorter form kind of thing and it's more of a scripted thing with like a spokesperson or something like that, then we can be more involved. It's easier for us to come up with a format and just distill information down and help it sound fun and engaging and all of that. If you're trying to do something that really gets deep into a subject, into the weeds, and is a longer form sort of thing, I'm not a psychologist. So you have to have a subject matter expert either delivering or writing that content. And so we can help with formatting it, you know, polishing that content and coming up with how it's presented. But at that point, like, there's only so much that we can do on the content generation side if it's like very technical, long form sort of content.
Yeah. Well, I think you're hitting on a few good things here that, you know, this idea that obviously there's only so much you can do. You're not the experts in their subject. They're going to bring it. I've got to imagine in your work, and I don't want to dish on anybody because I realize people come in all different understanding levels, but what are consistently the issues you see as people come to you and say, like, hey, we want to make a video? I know I've got some bad expectations that I've done before when I've gone to people like, hey, let's do this thing. And they're like, Matt, what are you talking about? You can't do that. That's unrealistic, or that's crazy that we'd never get that done. Are there things that you see that consistently clients, or maybe not clients, people maybe you chose not to work with, are bringing that are really problematic from a video creation standpoint that you're like, we really need to, we can't go that route because, you know, it doesn't work. It's too expensive. Maybe it's just, you know, content wise, it's not going to be good.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen for any number of reasons. You know, a lot of times it's a scope or budget thing where it's just not possible. We run into that a little less with the educational content side of things, more often with the advertising or something, or somebody wants to make a Super Bowl ad and it's not a feasible thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any, like, a specific example.
Yeah. I mean, getting aligned on the scope is always difficult. Like, no matter what the client, just, you know, having our client or potential clients coming to us and not understanding, you know, how much time it takes to do certain things in video production, especially with like motion graphics and animation. Because that could be extremely, extremely time intensive and take a lot of time and effort to do something which seems very simple. So yeah, that's one big point. I guess another would be having, like we've touched on earlier, having too much information to fit in one video. Like, that's a common thing that we always have to, you know, kind of fight with a lot of clients to get, like, what's the three main things you want to hit on, you know, not the 40, you know, million bullet points on this product or service or whatever it is.
So, okay, let's run with that idea. So let's say I come to you again, kind of this idea, I've got 40 bullet points on a product. Yeah. What advice do you give to people? Because I see this in learning content. I see this in a lot of content. What advice do you give to help them to narrow that down? Obviously, they know their product. They know what's most important, but they're all their babies. And I've got 40 bullet points of things that I love about this thing. So how do you help someone to just narrow that down? Besides just saying, I guess you could say, like, we can't do it too many, cut it. But any advice to help make that maybe easier?
I mean, sometimes like with a product or like the people who, you're right, like it's their baby. And so they love every part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But like we're outsiders. We're a third party. So sometimes we can just look at something and tell them like, I mean, it's our opinion. But, you know, I don't think that like this is as strong a selling point as this is. Sometimes it's condensing things down and taking 3 or 5 selling points and that are maybe all somehow related. Like what did, because in the end, what you really want to do is you want to connect with somebody on a somewhat emotional level. And to do that, you have to say, what is this doing for you? How is this changing your day to day? How is this making something easier in your life? Like it's one thing to say, you know, this widget spins 5,000 times faster than this widget. Well, what is that extra, you know, spinning fast? What does that do for me? How does that change what I'm doing? And so sometimes like there'll be 5 features that they want to show. Well, all those features actually feed into this one change in the consumer's day to day or in their life. And it all is really connected to like one selling point. And so in, you know, that's a thing that we do a lot is take all these features and condense these 5 here into this point and these 5 here into this point to try to make it simpler. Because the other thing too is, like I said, like a lot of times, like just like in explainer or demo videos for products, not even sales, but like if you're showing how a product works, a lot of people want to show every single little feature and every little thing on the product. But all that does a lot of times is make the product seem very complicated to use. And a lot of those features may not even apply to XYZ use case. And so a lot of it is just about making whatever it is seem as. So a lot of it is just that.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, we're getting close to, I want to jump into our speed round here in just a minute, but I'm curious as creators, obviously always looking for, you know, you mentioned earlier kind of stealing the best ideas, looking at creators, copying kind of beat for beat, looking at that. Who are you guys looking to right now? Where are you going for your, I guess, inspiration or looking to see kind of the best like ideas out there that you think are doing a great job with video? Anyone that we should be tuning into or maybe you don't want to tell me because you don't want us to go and take that.
No, Carl and I have always said our biggest influence as filmmakers is the movie Kung Pao. So I don't know if anybody out there has seen the movie Kung Pao, but that really informs a lot of our comedy.
I mean, we like watching honestly like the latest Super Bowl commercials, honestly. Like we after every year we always kind of find the best ones and review like, you know, what were the hottest commercials this year and what were they doing well and what are the latest trends and stuff. That's one thing. We don't really have a specific creator. I think we, you know,
we like, I mean, for explainer videos, there's a company. Oh, yeah. I think they're located in LA. They're called Sandwich Video.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They sort of don't know if it's fair to say they invented the explainer video, but they may have perfected it. And so like that's a huge part of what they do. And when I say explainer video, it's also like advertising, but the advertising is like sort of an explainer video. But they do like really, really cool work. I think they're pretty well known. Like if you're a video creator, you probably have heard of them. I'm trying to think if there's other like specific.
Yeah, Sandwich is a big one. Kung Pao, huge. Yeah. I mean,
a lot of it is just being a consumer of video constantly too and staying up on trends as far as cinematography and tone and these things and just watching ads. Because a lot of times like people nowadays, they're getting most of their information from it might be X. And so they're not even seeing, like, you need to get information and see advertising from a lot of different platforms, broadcast here and there in order to get like a real big picture of like all the possibilities too. So I try to use all these different platforms and pay attention. Like most of the time your brain, the average person, they're trying actively to filter out the advertising. And I'm trying to like take it in and see what the advertising is looking like.
Well, I will say Sandwich did a great series of videos with Wistia. They did one that to kind of point you guys brought up earlier. It's $1,000, $10,000, and I think $100,000. They did 3 videos just to show the differences. So, yeah, big fans of Sandwich. Can't afford it myself, but, you know, really, really great work. So, well, Carl and Tripp, thank you so much for answering my questions. We're going to go into our speed round. And if you're new to the podcast, speed round questions are meant to be quick, fast answers. Here we go. Okay, this is a number 8. So, if you had to pick an image that represented you, what would it be?
a chihuahua swinging a golf club on a film set.
That's perfect.
I don't know what you mean.
All right, let's go. Fun. Let's get, we'll move on to the next question. We're moving down to number 7. Okay, so Tripp, you answer this one. So Carl, we'll let you take this one. So question number 7, if you had a hobby or interest that you've always wanted to pursue but haven't had a chance yet, what would that hobby be?
Haven't pursued, I would say
skydiving. So all I can think of is jumping out of planes.
I mean, I would absolutely love to jump out of planes. I guess that sounds great. I really want to do that now. Yes.
As long as you take a camera with you, right?
Yeah, I would definitely have to strap one on, a GoPro at least.
Absolutely. All right, we'll do one or two more here. Question number five. Okay, so this is not a hobby, but a skill. If you could instantly acquire any new skill, you didn't have to, you know, just it came to you, what would it be and why? Who wants to take that one?
Like something we're not already trying to work on?
I mean, that's up to you. I don't know if you're what you're working on, so.
Be able to horseback ride horses.
That's the first time that answer has ever been given on this show. So. I love it. And, you know, nice for the countryside, not maybe, I don't know, maybe it's practical. Riding a horse to work.
Yeah, we live in the city, so I don't know, you know. A post-apocalyptic, maybe that might come in handy. Yeah.
There you go. All right, we got one more question. Here we go. Last one. Question number 12. Okay, what's one go-to tool that helps you get your job done on a regular basis? This could be software, it could be physical hardware, it could be anything, and helps you get your job done. So is there a tool that helps you?
For me, it's honestly Apple Notes. I live and die on Apple Notes. It's simple. You can make lists. You know, we have fancy other software like Airtable and Notion and stuff like that, but I always go back to Apple Notes.
Yeah, sometimes simplicity is just the best way to do things, honestly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it. All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. Before we wrap up, we'd love to hear how, if people are interested in connecting with you, learning more about your guys' studio, the work that you do, where can we find you?
Yeah, so we have a studio. It's located in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're just south of downtown Raleigh. And Carl can tell you how to get up with us.
You know, check us out on millbrookstudios.com. If you want to see what we're up to in our lives, do check us out on Instagram, Millbrook Studios, and LinkedIn, also Millbrook Studios. Yeah, and give us a call or shoot me an email at carl@millbrookstudios.com if you're interested in talking about a video project.
Absolutely. And if you do see them on the Visual Lounge, you reach out to them. Hey, let them know that we sent you. With that said, we like to wrap our show up with the same way every time we ask our guests for their final take. So, gentlemen, what is your final take for our show today?
At the end of the day, for almost any video project of any type, you have to realize that people's attention spans are short, and the only way to get them to take action is to get them to care. And so in order for those things to happen, you have to keep your message simple and you have to keep it focused on what your product, your content, your information does for them and how it changes their day to day or their lives for the better in some way. I think that's true of pretty much any kind of video out there. That's all that really matters in the end is that's the only way is to make it personal for them, is to show them what, you know, what can be better in their lives because of what you're giving them, what you're showing them, what you're doing for them.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you again for joining me in the Visual Lounge.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You bet. All right, everybody, go check out Millbrook Studios. They've got some great work that they do and they've got great advice. Obviously, I love this notion of keep things simple, keep it focused. Go look at great creative out there, learn from it, because that's advice that you can take and do without a lot of effort. Like, go see what creatives are doing and bring it into your own work to make your own work even better. And if you can't figure out how to do that stuff, you're looking at some how to put it together, that's where the fun is in video editing. It's taking time to figure out, like, hey, how did that come together? What pieces do I need to do that? So with that said, we hope that you like the show. We hope that you go out and like, subscribe, do all that stuff. Helps people know that you're watching and the other people who are interested in the show, helps us get found, which we're always trying to find more people to hopefully help them out. because what we actually want you to do is go and learn, go develop your skills, and we hope you take a little bit of time to level up every single day. Thanks, everybody.